This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story.
Chapter 24. Clutching the stone, Tom's finger circled the white neck of its owner, his mind back in the place of dreams and nightmares. He felt the happy laughter of spinning joy, his head thrown back with the exuberance of childhood. Back in the dream house, he felt the warmth of the fire, the heat of his mother's body, the smell of wood smoke, heard the constant fiddle, the sing-song lullaby. Now, though, as he spun and laughed, another image pushed its way through the happy scene. He lay in bed, the hypnotic heart swinging before his eyes and then rising, a kiss left on his forehead, the light now dimming, and darkness. The calm suddenly replaced by raised voices beyond the closed door. The words, angry and ugly, pounded against the panels, muffled by them. Venomous sounds formed to wispy clouds that drifted to the floor, through the white line under the door and reconstructed themselves in the inside of Tom's black room. Ghost words that matched the furious sounds of adults not yet killing each other. Tom shook himself to rid the image from his mind, but really, this is what he'd hoped to find. The truth. Who he was. The stone heart in his hand plundered his memory with unrelenting efficiency, and lying in bed, the words drifted towards him, shimmering a terrifying ethereal power. The young Tom sat up, watched and listened.
"Don't interfere, woman!"
And the words circled the boy's head, closed on his neck as though a noose set to strangle the life from him.
"They're children! They have to learn!"
And then the man's voice chilled and the words morphed and turned an icy blue, so cold that Tom's breath became a pale vapour that crusted on contact with the sentence.
"And you have to learn too."
And then a scream, the words closer now, circling ever faster, the ozone and the burning, the freezing noose in Tom's hands, tearing at it. His fingers burning on the ice, the warmth of his hands melting the letter so that their substance wetted his skin to a slick liquid that seemed to spread over his palm and around each hand. Tom shook himself free and once more he floated into the air, the words and the night time gone. The room replaced by unfocused walls and a dim light that surrounded them and came from nowhere and everywhere at the same time. Below, a younger Tom and a younger Tess sat bound by leather belts encircling their waists, their chests, their ankles and their foreheads, all to strange high-backed chairs rising from ankle-deep pools of water. Barefooted, the pair waited their fates with grim determination not to cry. Tom drifted downwards, but instead of seeing from close by as he had intended, he seemed to merge with the boy in the seat and then saw, heard and felt everything as the youngster did. Sitting straight backed, Tom was angled towards Tess. She looked fearless, her long red hair braided to a tight rope, tiny freckles peppering her nose and bare arms. Tom instinctively tried to move. Knew before he did that it was useless. Tess threw him a look and micro shook her head. He wasn't to move. But of course, he did. It was then that the boy noticed the thing touching his head. A small, semicircular cradle supported the back of his skull and neck, pressed tight by the strap girdling his forehead. A tiny tingle tickled his skin where the cold metal touched him. He pulled away and the strap hauled him back. Close to and in front of the children, this shuffling and hunched figure of their tormentor took his place in his own chair, apparently unconcerned by the struggles of the pair in front of him. Tom raged, anger pouring through his veins as though replacing the blood that gave him life. He wrenched his head forward and pulled on his arms, kicked his feet. The boy's bonds tightened in a pain. Molten steel shot through the back of his neck as though the cradle had turned to fire. It raged through his body, in and up and down, through his head, his torso, flowing through his feet to the water at his toes.
"Stop fidgeting, boy," the man said. "You've done this before. Don't be a baby.
But Tom continued to struggle, fire searing his neck and his toes.
Tom!
Shouted Tess, her words as painful to her as Tom's movement was to him.
Sit still! It's not so hard if you just sit still!
Distracted by her voice, Tom stopped struggling and the pain ceased. Tess too seemed to slump without moving, and her face softened to a statuesque plea for her brother to make it easy on himself. Her brother. Soon the man sat opposite them, hunched across the short gap and unbuckled Tess's left arm and Tom's right. Tess seemed to know what was expected of her. She entwined her fingers with Tom's, their hands fusing as one. The girl's strength suddenly evident to the boy, a strength far beyond that of her build, beyond the slip of a girl that sat beside him. The comfort of Tessie's touch was shadowed by another. Stretching either side of them, the man grasped the children's tethered and outer hands. The contact shocked Tom more than the pain. Without thinking, he tried to turn his head to look at the corrupting link. But the strap tightened around his head and boiling oil flowed through his veins.
Now, Tom, the man said with a benign smile, if you've finished fooling around, we can begin.
DreamWorks.com.